to spin.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden and Draven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things as we get you closer to your weekend. On this Friday, November 20th, I guess we're getting you closer to Thanksgiving too, right? 6 days away from Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost turkey time.
Almost turkey time. How are you guys today? Thumbs up from Hayden as he has a stupid...
What is that ring on your thumb?
It's a Coastal Carolina ring.
Oh, my... Oh, yeah.
Coastal Carolina ring.
It's pretty.
It's pretty.
It's a pretty ring. Yeah. I know why. Yeah. I like it.
How are you, Cameron?
I am doing extraordinary. I got wonderful news this morning, so I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, you're doing good?
Yeah.
They finally get your car fixed?
No. Even better.
Even better? You get that PS? Oh, well, you... Yesterday, you were shopping. Did you come
no,
through with that?
Even better than that.
I didn't know if I was ruining a surprise or anything.
No,
I
was, oh, no.
I didn't know who might be listening.
Yeah. No, I got the best news. Patrick Sean Payton is an idiot and decided to start Taysom Hill this Sunday.
Sean Payton's name is Patrick?
Yeah.
Patrick Payton? Why doesn't he go by that? I feel
because
like
he's
cool.
Yeah, I don't
Patrick
know.
Payton's not a bad name.
But all I know is Raheem is not losing to a man named Patrick.
Okay.
And starting a Mormon Tim Tebow at quarterback. I'm thrilled.
You know this is going to make this potential loss much, much worse.
Well, here's the bright side of if we lose this. They don't draft his replacement, and they keep him for the future. I'm cool with that, too. So it's a win-win situation.
What if he's good?
He won't be.
I mean, there's a chance he's going to be good, right? I mean, like, no. I don't know how big of a chance, but yeah. I feel like there's a chance he's going to be good. I'm not going to come on here
Impossible.
And say, like, well, okay. I mean, maybe it is. He started a nice deep ball every now and then, but, like, it's been wide open, like, in gadget plays. Like, this time he's going to be quarterback. They might just try to – how's your run defense? Your run defense is pretty good,
pretty
right?
Pretty solid, yeah.
Run defense is pretty good. Maybe you guys will be able to stop him. But, yeah, that's the big news of the day, I guess, right now, is that – Jameis Winston, his time is up.
Didn't even last a week.
Sean Payton has seen enough. Did Jameis do anything bad last week?
No. He didn't do anything at all. Pretty much. He's handed the ball off the whole time.
Yeah, that's all they needed him to do. But I guess they've seen enough because, yeah, Jameis Winston reportedly will have no snaps, no packages in this offense on Sunday, according to Schefter, and I guess it was Diana Rossini who reported that. It's Taysom time.
Some time.
And I gotta be honest, I've been waiting for this. I never thought the day would come. I never bought that they would let him be the starting quarterback. But here we go. Do you think this is just an audition game? They're like, you know what?
Yes.
Might as well. Let's do it. Let's see. What's the worst that could happen? A loss to the Falcons? That's fine. Like, no disrespect to the Falcons. It's just like they got a lead in the division, although only a game lead.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, why go get Jameis if he's not your solidified backup? If you thought Taysom Hill was your solid backup that you believe in.
Well, they paid Taysom Hill, too. So, like, I mean, I understand it from their perspective of why they needed three quarterbacks. If they do consider Taysom a quarterback because they play Taysom all over the field. So, I mean, like, you could easily see a scenario this year where both Taysom and Breeze would have gotten hurt. Or where Taysom would have gotten hurt, then you wouldn't have had a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I understood them bringing in. You know, all three of them. But like I said, I thought Jameis would be the guy if it came down to it, kind of like how Bridgewater was last year. Yeah. But I guess Teddy's better than Jameis, or maybe Taysom's gotten better as a quarterback. I don't know. But I'm here for the experiment. Let's see. The thing is this isn't going to be like an unseen surprise. I think by this point, you know, this isn't me comparing them, but Lamar Jackson does a lot of what Taysom Hill is going to do and probably does it a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of running around, kind of running like an old option type of offense from time to time with the run keep and things like that. Cam Newton's doing it this year too. So, you know, it's not like Taysom Hill is going to catch everybody by surprise. But I'm interested. I want to see what he looks like when it comes to throwing the ball. Let's see.
Yes, let's.
Cam, do you want to put a board bet on the game?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's go.
We will.
You giving me the 4.5?
No.
All right, I'll take the money line.
Do the 4.5.
No. He already agreed
money
to
line. Money line it is.
You got to start negotiating better, Cam.
I don't need to negotiate.
You could have gotten
it's locked in.
Two board bets out of it, maybe. A 2-to-1 odds. I mean, it's probably plus 200 on the money line or close to it.
Nope. Well, it's too late now.
Oh, well. I don't need it. I don't need it. I refuse to let Patrick beat our team this week.
Okay. You both need wins. You're both far behind me in the board bet, so I don't know who I'm rooting for. Good luck on second and third place, I guess. No big deal. Should have had a board bet last night. Although Draven was on my side. Draven, you. I was worried about how confident you were. I said like the Seahawks. You came with me. You came strong with me, and that made me a little nervous. But we big brains
out.
Over here. It was
Hold
right.
It
never, never in doubt.
Never. It was.
Everyone knew that Seahawks team. Everyone knew that Seahawks team was beating the Cardinals. That Cardinals team's a little fraudy. They're fun, but they're a little fraudy.
Kind of feel like it.
Going to Seattle and winning. Imagine thinking that.
Who thought that?
Who?
I wonder.
Who?
I really wonder. Who?
The self-proclaimed best handicapper at the station was on here telling everyone that he thought the Cardinals were going to win and the over. Don't forget the over, which came in 10 points short.
Definitely need that last touchdown.
The last touchdown is all we need.
Send it to overtime. Oh, boy.
And all the statistical overs. Like Murray, what was Murray's final stats? I know Russell didn't really do much in the
I think he ended up like 268 or something.
So Murray didn't hit the over
either. 269. So.
Nice performance by the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, no, they stepped it up.
They heard all week about how much they sucked. And I did see they came out and, you know, had back-to-back three and outs to start the game. Okay, good job, Seattle. You showed a little life. And then Carlos Dunlap. You know, they traded for him, and he came up with the sack to ice the game, to end the Cardinals drive.
Kyler looked oblivious on that play. I was just like, oof.
Congrats to Patrick Mahomes on his second MVP. Congrats to Patrick Mahomes. Barring any type of injury, congrats to Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead and lock it in. Go ahead and lock it in. Good job, Patrick. Two MVPs in 3 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the record? 5? Like, Peyton's got the record, right, in terms of how many MVPs he's won?
I think
5. Peyton has the record at 5. I think. Could be 6, but I think it's 5. I'll wait for my stat team to come up with that.
Yep, he's got 5.
How is Draven so bad at Googling? I'm watching him type it. He never gets the answer. It always takes him so long.
And then Brett Favre, Jim Brown, and Tom Brady have 3.
So Peyton's got a 2 lead.
Yep.
So Mahomes is about to be at 2.
So that whole LeBron James effect, that's not gonna happen for Mahomes?
I mean, like I said, I feel like they were trying. But I mean, like, just everyone's falling. Like, Murray had a chance, and he choked last night. He scored 3 touchdowns in their biggest game of the year. Chance to keep first place, to sweep the Seahawks. He blew it. Goodbye, Kyler. Russell, I mean, threw for 190 yards. I don't know if that's going to be enough to put him. I guess he's second. I saw the update. Oh, he's second, but Mahomes is like close to even money right now. So I'm not like saying anything far fetched. Although I feel like I've been saying the last couple weeks when people are still trying to give it to other people. Like it's going to be Mahomes's. That's what I saw out of last night's game.
Yeah.
And every now and then you just got to give it to the guy. And like who knows? Like maybe his numbers are going to just be, completely jaw-dropping by the end. Like I said, he's got 26 touchdowns and 1 interception right now, or 25 touchdowns and 1 interception.
Yeah.
That's really, really good, obviously.
Pretty solid.
If he ends the year with 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, it's a no-brainer. Especially if they're like 13-3 or better, which they probably will be.
How the Raiders feeling going into this weekend?
With no defense. What's the update on the Raiders' defense, the COVID list? What's the update there? Any bad positives yet? They still like on track to maybe be able to get off?
I saw where they're still on track.
They'll find out Saturday and Sunday. Like, Leary's going to come down to...
I don't think that missing practice matters.
I don't either, because you can do it virtually. And
I think you just get the game plan at this point. Yep. Like, you don't need to be out there running around. I mean, you saw the Titans annihilate the Bills after not practicing for like 2 weeks. You don't need practice. Just stay fresh. These guys know what they're doing. Just game plan.
Yep.
So I don't know if that necessarily matters. But, I mean, the Raiders' defense has been playing better. But, yeah, they get Mahomes on Sunday night, so we'll see. Big chance for the Raiders, just like it was last night for the Cardinals. Yeah. And the Cardinals gagged. Like I said, I feel like they're kind of frauds.
Kyler Murray might be a little bit of a fraud. I think we were overhyping Kyler Murray just a little bit.
He did not look great yesterday.
He made a bad decision.
I think Kyler Murray's a front runner. And I don't even mean that as an insult. I just think when Kyler Murray's playing really well, he plays really, really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I think other times he just has to make plays with his legs, and then like he's going to be inaccurate and make bad decisions. Like, I can't shake the 9-of-24 performance against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Like, when he couldn't, like, he was inaccurate, he couldn't make a pass. Like, I mean, and like his yards and completions were all like yak yards. Like, he had the one pass to Christian Kirk.
I was about to say, that was it. That was literally majority of his stats.
And then he had like a dump down to DeAndre Hopkins that Hopkins took 70 yards on like a slant pattern. Like, those were like the two plays. He had like, he was like I said, 9-of-24 for like 180 yards, and two passes had like 160 of them. So I do, like I said, I'm not going to call him a fraud. I think he's very, very talented. But I do think that he is a front runner. I do think that when he is performing well, he performs really, really well. But I do think you'll have off games where he just looks like a guy and he struggles.
He tried to do way too much last night, too.
I think that probably has parts to do with it, too.
On that 3rd and inches right before halftime, he should have just gave it. He kept it, trying to be the hero. Lost like 2 yards. They didn't get any points. I believe Seattle got a field goal right there before the half off of that. So that was a big play.
Oof, the Cardinals overall, the team, they got some skill. They got some good players, I think, at, you know, at all positions. And you see Isaiah Simmons.
Oh, he was coming. It's coming together for him. Yeah, he's figured it out.
And he was supposed to be a stud. He's figuring it out. He's getting more reps now. He had 9 tackles last night.
Yeah. Had that one sack, too.
9 tackles, a sack. Yeah, he's playing well. But, you know, you had – I don't mean any disrespect to – I don't want to call him the GOAT, but the top five receiver, Larry Fitzgerald. No disrespect to him, but, like, when you're my leading receiver in 2020 –
Yeah, at this point.
I don't feel like our offense is moving the ball pretty well. You know what I mean?
They're, like, using him. Like, instead of throwing screens to, like, Hopkins, they're throwing screens to Larry Fitzgerald.
Which Larry's usually pretty good on those screens, but, like, that was, like, 3 years ago, bro. Like,
yeah.
They had the run game shut down. Seattle had a good performance. That was a really good performance by them. And Kyler Murray, I mean, if you keep Kyler Murray to 15 rushing yards, you're going to make Kyler Murray look pretty pedestrian as a quarterback.
Yep.
You're going to make him look like just a guy. Because, I mean, his athleticism is his key. And when he could add, you know, 80 yards rushing, he looks like a completely different guy. Last night, Seattle's like, nope, not going to do it. You saw that earlier. They were really trying to make sure he wasn't running, and he never was able to. 5 carries, 15 yards, nothing on the ground. Kenyon Drake, 11 carries, 29 yards, nothing on the ground. If I'm Seattle, I feel pretty good.
They also dominated time of possession, Seattle did, which was probably very big.
I think that was by design, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that was by design, too, where they just they know they're going to have to start helping their defense. And, I like seeing Russell Cook. You know, that's been the battle cry all year. But, like, every now and then you got to slow it down until his defense comes together.
I guess it's nice to be able to do both if you need to.
It's like, let Russell make the plays, but, you know, every now and then Russell's going to have to save you. Don't get me wrong. Like, Russell's going to have to be your best player. But, you know, if you can keep the other team on the sidelines for as long as possible, that is a big help to your defense. Yeah, they had 35 minutes compared to 25. Like, that was a pretty big difference. But also, like, Arizona, which I guess Seattle, too. Both of them just a lot of penalties. 10 penalties for Arizona. You guys talked about that big one that DeAndre Hopkins or Drake Kirkpatrick had.
Yeah,
I don't know what was going on there. That was crazy.
Some beef he had with DK, I guess, and it just boiled up, and he let it go and started swinging.
That safety was huge too. The holding in the end zone.
Not gonna win games like that. Obviously, you didn't. Seattle, I still feel like wins that division, but I still feel like anybody's gonna feel very good about their chances of beating them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taysom Hill heading into Seattle to win the NFC.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
So you have zero fear of Taysom Hill?
No, I hate that guy so much.
I know you hate him. I'm asking, is it clouding your judgment?
No, not at all. Okay. Man's only thrown 18 career passes.
Everyone's got to start
somewhere.
He doesn't
frighten me. He does not scare me at all.
What are his stats in those 18 passes?
I don't think they're very good.
I mean, I feel like he's hit some pretty like big plays before. Fake punts, deep bombs. I mean, I feel like he's going to be like 14 of 18 for like 200 yards and two touchdowns or something like that.
I don't think he's going to be that good. Completion percentage. That was 2020. Here we go.
I have the
overall
worst Google team in the world. My God.
They don't even have his passing stat on here.
Just forget it. We're broadcasting live from the White Claw Studios. Drink some White Claw this weekend. 8 delicious flavors. Crafted with White Claws. Brew pure process. Only 100 calories. Drink responsibly.
Only 10 of 18.
Support the people who support us. Took you guys long enough. My God. Where's the Google team in America?
I had to scroll down for passing. They only give me his rushing and receiving because nobody considers him a legit quarterback. Except Sean Payton.
I would be worried if I were you, though.
I'm not.
It's just going to be embarrassing if he beats you.
He's not going to beat us.
It's one of those things like, where you...
Hayden's over there very like confident. That's how I know they're not going to beat us.
That's true. That's true.
I have no fear of Taysom Hill.
The fact that you're going, I don't know. I don't know what you guys' record head to head is in board bets. I don't know.
Taysom Hill.
We'll find out this weekend. It makes it more intriguing. I guess I'd rather watch Taysom than Jameis. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back. I do have to point out that, you know, part of what we talked about yesterday, you saw, you know, the reports come out, Sean Payton don't really care. Like, hey, Taysom Hill is going to be our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to, like, keep it secret.
Yeah.
And just announce who our quarterback's going to be and go play.
And then,
and they actually have, like, a secret weapon that they feel like they're getting ready to unleash. I mean, granted, like, I know Atlanta's been getting ready for Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know they're going to, you know, expand the package of Drew Brees out. But, like, you know, they're just like, hey, yeah, we're fine. Go ahead and let that out. Don't care. Do your reporting. I'm not going to hide it. Maybe it's a difference in just reporting. I don't know. Maybe it's just like, hey, Schefter got the scoop and they're putting it out there. Or Diana got the scoop and they're putting it out there. And Sean Payton wouldn't have announced it. I don't know. But it's out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, I'm excited.
I don't know. We got some Rona news here in Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
Philip Fulmer got the Rona.
Papaw.
Papaw's got the Rona.
Oof. He's got to be in the high-risk category, huh?
Well, you took it to a sad place pretty quickly. Oh, I think he'll be fine.
I was
going
to say. Yeah.
It's a dude's asymptomatic.
Yeah, so I think he'll be all right. But
that's what everybody says, though.
Say, well, I guess, like, I don't know how long the symptoms take to kick in or what, but he just put out a statement saying he's feeling fine and continue to work remotely while adhering to the CDC and local health department guidelines. I have not been deemed to be a close contact with any of our student athletes or sport-specific staff members.
Good.
It's good it wasn't that week he was, like, working with the offensive line. Yeah. Or he's out there coaching the boys up on the O-line. That would have been pretty ironic.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be all right.
I'd love an update in 2 days. A few freezes. Like, I got the Rona, too.
That's what I was going to say right there.
I've got the Rona, too. Recently went out of town.
I was in close contact with somebody that was
recently
diagnosed.
Went out of town for a job interview, and I now have the Rona.
Don't you think they're doing those things on Zoom now, though?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. When it comes time to get serious, I'd imagine South Carolina wants to sit down with somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine if you're going to give somebody that much money, you want to meet them in person. Yeah. But maybe not the initial ones. Might do a lot of them just on phone calls. I don't know if you're actually picking up the Zoom. I mean, how much do you think that actually goes into an interview, though, with coaches? I've always wondered that. Like, do you think you're actually sitting down asking questions?
I think they just kind of want you to sell them on, like,
the vision?
Your idea for the program, what you want to do, like, kind of your...
I think when you get to that point, it's probably pretty sad. Like, I don't feel like you actually interview, like, good coaches. I don't know. Like, I feel like when Florida was hiring Dan Mullen, they pretty much just like, hey, you want the job?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you put a good staff together?
Based on his resume.
Yeah, they just cool. Have some stuff like
that. Like, if Fulmer calls Hugh Freeze, I think it'd just be like, hey, are you ready for this? Like, can I trust you?
Yep.
Do we think, like, he's going to sit down and Fulmer's going to be like, tell me about a time you overcame some obstacles in your life.
Yeah, no questions like that. Yeah,
what
no
do you think
way.
Your strengths and weaknesses are? Do you think you could be a cultural fit here at the University of Tennessee?
Yeah, no, I don't think they hit them with questions like that, the generic.
What were some good ideas that you brought to your last place of work? How would your last boss describe you? Things like that. I don't think we're actually interviewed. I think it'd just be like, hey, can I get Fulmer calls Hugh Freeze. It'd be like, hey, can I trust you? Are you ready? Do you know what staff you want? How much money do you need for the staff? Mm. Are you done with the escorts? You know we don't really have any casinos nearby, so we can't do that whole thing you're doing at Tunica. I mean, I guess we could send you. The casino in Bristol is supposed to open in the fall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The old Bristol Mall.
Do we know what brand that's with yet, the casino?
No, I don't know. I don't know yet.
It's not like a Harrah's, though, right?
I don't know. It's a big place, though.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a huge place around the state line of Virginia, right? Which I do wonder if that'll eventually lead to Tennessee being like, well, we got to do something because all of our money's going to either right across the state line to Bristol, Virginia, or to Cherokee, North Carolina. I don't know.
Yeah. Tennessee also.
It's kind of what happened with the lottery.
Up in that area, they lose some money off sales tax because Virginia's sales tax is a lot lower than Tennessee's.
Really?
So, like, when people go out and shop and they go, like, right across the line to Bristol and shop in Bristol.
Yeah, it's sales tax. It did throw me off when I first moved up here, but the sales tax was higher.
Yeah.
I guess that's the trade-off for no state income tax.
Yeah. Which is nice.
So because we have... I mean, why is that?
That's why.
No, I mean, like, why is... Like, I mean, do we just... Why like, do we not have income make tax? A difference, I guess. Like, because, I mean, like, I guess now Tennessee can sell itself on some tourism. Like, I mean, between Nashville, you get enough tourists in Nashville now to combine that with the Great Smoky Mountains, that Tennessee's probably one of the more visited states.
That's
usually
part of it.
Definitely in the South, at least.
Usually the tourist states have higher sales tax most of the time.
I just wonder when we implemented that, were we considered a tourist state then? Because, like I said, people weren't really going to Nashville at that point. Maybe they were going to Memphis, though.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know. Memphis.
Dollywood.
Well, like I said, the Great Smoky Mountains have always been... I mean, that's the most visited national park, right? I mean, isn't that...
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How do you think you could fit in with the culture of the Bears, Hugh? You like the mountains? How do you feel about Dolly Parton? I wonder like how much they're actually... I feel like they probably did have to have real interviews with Kevin Steele and Mel Tucker and Jerry Pruitt last go-around because, you know, none of those guys have ever done it before. Their resumes, actually had to sell... Yeah, they probably had to sell themselves on like, hey, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to do it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, coordinators probably have a completely different... especially first-time head coach coordinators. Yeah. Probably have a completely different interview process. Huh. I'm going to have to see if I can find out what they ask. I'm going to have to ask a coach.
I mean, they said, like, with Jerry Jones, like, whenever he interviewed McCarthy, they just had, like, dinner at the house and, like, hung out and, like, drank. Right? I mean, wasn't that the story? Like, he just had, like, a sleepover at the house?
He stayed the night at Jerry's house.
I think that was more just, like, Jerry, like, hey, you going to do what I say? Okay. And then, like, let's just see if we have fun hanging out together. Let's have a drink and see if we get any arguments.
I'm just picturing them both in pajamas sitting on the couch watching the movie.
Mike McCarthy was trying to tell it to him about analytics, and Jerry's like, yeah, analytics, man, analytics, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
You ever seen this movie, Rango?
That's probably what it was. They're just sitting around drinking and watching movies, talking ball. Like, I doubt there was, like, an interview process. It was probably like, hey, like, you have a resume. I'm just going to see if I like hanging out with you. I'm going to see what your vibe's like. Do you pass the vibe test?
Yeah. Vibe check.
I don't know. Maybe it's different, like at different levels, because McCarthy had the Super Bowl ring. But like I said, I bet coordinators are actually having to sell like a vision. So to answer your question, I don't know if it would be a Zoom call or what. I don't know what the interview process would be like. South Carolina, though, I would imagine they'll probably be hiring coaches without the slam dunk resume, so they might want to be getting the vibe check in person. It's hard to get a vibe check on Zoom, I think.
Yeah, I feel like you could fake it there. But, yeah, I think you do want to see him in person to make sure you kind of just, like, get like you won't butt heads all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things you got to check on. But, yeah, I don't know besides that.
I'd like to see what happened at Jerry and Mike McCarthy's sleepover, though. exactly what's going down.
Mike McCarthy lied to him. You've heard that before, right? Mike McCarthy lied to Jerry Jones.
Just about the analytics is the only thing I knew he was lied about.
He said he watched every single Cowboys game that past year, and then he later admitted that he didn't watch a single game.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't hear about that?
No.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jerry could fire him for cause. It's like you lied on your resume type of thing.
Well, hell, when they did the like press conference to announce he was the coach, that's when he said it. He's like, Jerry, I ain't going to lie. I did lie to you. It's basically what he said. he literally told him.
Just
he's
embarrassed
like,
him in front of everybody. What did Jerry say whenever he admitted it? His laughter?
Yeah, he just kind of laughed it off. But he kind of looked a little, you know, like damn it, man.
I would just be mad that you felt the need to tell everybody that you lied to me. That you pulled one over on me.
In front of everybody, yeah. But he did.
All right.
That's funny.
Fulmer's got the Rona.
Oof.
Cam wants to point out he's high risk. I didn't want to point that out. He'll be
What's
fine.
What's he, a septuagenarian or something like that?
I mean, yeah, he's 70 now, right?
Pretty sure.
He's 70 now.
Yeah.
Yep. On the dot.
He's a little chunky. He'll be fine.
It's fine.
He's rich. Be all right.
Rich people always.
Not always. No. A couple older people. Joe Diffie's had some money. It took Joe Diffie out. This is a sad conversation. Why'd you bring us up? No, everything's going to be fine. It's fine. Everything's going to be good. Positive thoughts. Asymptomatic.
He's positive. He's got lots of positive thoughts.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch. We are now a white...
It was bad for Tom Herman. It got worse yesterday. We knew that Quinn Ewers had decommitted, but then he went ahead and made it official at Ohio State.
I hate to see it.
I can't imagine Texas fans are taking that pretty well.
No, they probably didn't want him anyway.
No, they wanted him. That's the number one player in the country, right?
Well, we didn't want him, so.
No, we wanted him. I mean, I think everyone wanted him, right?
I'm sure anybody would take him.
Didn't everyone want him?
Yeah.
He's from, like, the backyard of Texas. He commits there. It's going to be one of those things. I mean, you saw it with Butch Jones, right? I mean, you had Trevor Lawrence. You lost him.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is the number one player in the country as well, right? Didn't we look that up the other day? Wasn't he, like, the number one overall player?
He was.
You had him. You had the ties. I mean, yeah, he wasn't from Tennessee, but he's from Georgia. Grew up Tennessee fan.
Mm-hmm.
Had the pitchers in the stadium, rocking the 16. Yes. Like, we don't have to rehash all that. But you lost him, and that was pretty much the end of it, right? Like, from that moment, you had your doubts about Butch Jones, especially if you, like, bought into the reasons why you lost Trevor Lawrence. The rumors. You guys ever hear, like, the rumors, the stories there?
Not really.
Then, like, while Trevor Lawrence was on campus here, like, basically he was sitting next to another quarterback and, like, got the same exact text message from Butch Jones.
Oh,
and, like, they're sitting there and they showed each other the text message.
Yeah.
That's part of that.
It's like something like, you're my only quarterback, blah, blah, you're the future, like... That's what the rumor is. Like, obviously, I have no way of verifying that, but that's a pretty widespread rumor. It's just like,
but I buy that.
Yeah,
I totally
basically
buy
like
that.
They sent him the same. They sent him and another quarterback the same exact message, pretty much. And they sat there and they compared notes and was like, okay. And then neither one came. And like that was pretty much the beginning of the end. Obviously, that could have been a program saver, right? You get Trevor Lawrence here. I doubt Tennessee is worried about going 2-5 this weekend.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I doubt Tennessee went 7-5 last year with Trevor Lawrence. Safe to say you don't go 5-7 the year before with Trevor Lawrence either.
Nope.
Texas is in a similar situation. Tom Herman's had, I guess, at this point you could say a little bit more success than Butch Jones just because he had a Sugar Bowl championship, but it's been otherwise pretty similar. And now he let the quarterback go in a season that isn't already going well. Right in your backyard, Texas fan, number one player in the country.
Another good look. Ooh.
Ramps that pressure up. Pro Football Focus, which take or leave what you think about them in terms of their analysis, I guess. Sometimes what they say, sometimes these grades come out and it's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Like I saw that they had the Titans graded out as like 72 coverage this year and like one of the best in the league at like their secondary like covering guys. I'm like, our secondary is terrible. What are you talking about? They're talking about like how Lamar Jackson is going to struggle against like a good secondary that covers receivers. I'm just like, what? Like, maybe they're covered, but they're still getting, like, they're still giving up the catches.
Yeah,
like,
still catching
maybe
the ball.
They're there, but, like, you're still catching it. So, like, some, you know, we've seen them have the Jarrett Garantano stats, like, for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Big time throws down the field, all that. But recently, speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of Trevor Lawrence, Pro Football Focus graded all 127 quarterbacks. or at least all 127 quarterback situations. Number one quarterback in the country. Oh, you're going to say Justin Fields. Oh, Trevor Lawrence.
I didn't know if you were like saying it's not Trevor Lawrence.
No, Trevor Lawrence number one. Justin Fields number two. No surprise there. Both those guys really good. Zach Wilson number three.
Checks out.
Mac Jones four. Kyle Trask five. I mean, you probably could have figured out that top five.
Yep.
I personally would have thought Kyle Trask would have been higher than five. But I mean, like Zach Wilson, Mac Jones have been balling.
Yeah.
Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, we know about them.
Checks out.
Surprised at number six, they still have the sixth best quarterback in the country graded as Spencer Rattler. Because when I watch Oklahoma, I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, I never get thrilled watching him either. But yeah, the numbers have been saying he's been good.
And I'm not gonna say that I've watched enough to like make a real distinction, I guess. Then I keep scrolling. I do the Google. Actually, I'm not scrolling. I'm gonna do the Control F search, Draven. Control F. Type in Tennessee.
Let me guess. We're the bottom four quarterbacks.
Well, there are eight mentions of Tennessee.
Oh.
A lot of Middle Tennessee talk about these quarterbacks who have played Middle Tennessee. But I do get it at number 66, and it's Middle Tennessee State quarterback, Asher O'Hara.
Nice.
He's the 66th best quarterback in the country. Get down to number 100 in the quarterback
Tennessee
ranking.
State's quarterback.
No. Tennessee. Oh. Tennessee's quarterback comes in at number 100.
Top 100.
Right there. I guess it is better than being 101, right?
Yeah.
That is better than being 101.
Or 127.
Garantano has been the same in 2020 as he always has been throughout his collegiate career. Inaccurate. Which, hold on, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah,
wait one damn minute.
They used to throw 90 grades at him like it was
you
confetti.
Guys have been telling us how accurate he is down the field for a long time. Now, wait just one damn minute when you're saying he's the same he's always been, because that's not what you used to tell us. On throws beyond the line of scrimmage, Garantano has thrown an uncatchable ball 37% of the time. Not like inaccurate, just uncatchable. Huh? On throws beyond the line of scrimmage. So not like deep balls.
Just passes
if it's past
in general.
The line of scrimmage, yes, just pretty much passes in general, yes. Well. Anything but screen passes. They have been deemed uncatchable.
So every third pass is just airmailed.
Oh, more than that.
More than every third
pass, but yes, basically a rough estimate can't be right. Every three passes is going to be deemed uncatchable, except more than that.
Well, it's better than 38, I guess.
So we'll basically go out 4 out of every 10. I mean, we're closer to 4 out of every 10 than 1 out of every 3.
Fair enough.
4 out of every 10 passes, you're just going to be like, well, this one's not going to be caught at all. No chance.
Guaranteed he can't throw over 60% then.
That rate of 37% uncatchable passes is the fifth worst in the entire country.
Nice.
Of all 127 teams.
Doesn't seem good.
Fifth worst in the country.
Jeez.
Garantano's accuracy issues hindered the Tennessee offense last year, but at least he didn't put the ball in harm's way. But that has changed this season as his turnover-worthy play rate has nearly doubled and ranks third to last in the SEC. Which obviously, highlighted by the two pick sixes that lost you the Kentucky game.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And all the second half fumbles and interceptions against Georgia.
But let's throw him back out there tomorrow.
But
here we go.
Let's throw him back out there tomorrow. Maybe. We haven't seen enough just yet.
Come on.
Maybe we'll throw him out there.
He's going to improve his ranking.
He's
only going to be at 100 all your life.
He's going to start. We're going to be getting killed, and he'll get taken out.
Oh,
that's
no. I wasn't saying maybe from just like perspective. I'm just saying the coaches haven't seen enough. Maybe we'll throw him out there. We haven't seen enough. There's still time for this guy who's made how many starts to turn the corner? We don't know what we have with this guy yet. He could get better.
Yeah, he's got another year of eligibility.
I saw a stat where he could pass Peyton Manning for most starts in Tennessee history.
Yeah, that came from Blake Toppenmeier, as Blake Toppenmeier has brought out the chopper.
That's hilarious. How many more starts is he like this season?
I think
season?
He's at like 30.
He needed like 13.
Yeah, I think he's at 32.
Come back next year.
Okay.
He's at 32, and Peyton had 45. Yeah. I believe is what it is.
That'd be hilarious if he came back. And then you only have to just play him. Just start him every single game.
Blake Toppenmeier.
Just so he sits at top of the record books, and every time we have to look at it and just cringe.
Well, I mean, they put those graphics up last year of his comparisons with Peyton Manning. Yeah. I don't remember what it was that he was catching him on. Was it accuracy or is it a completion percentage maybe?
Oh, boy.
I hope not.
Like career completion percentage at UT? Maybe that was where he's at. I don't know.
Hopefully that's went down this year.
I mean, it and has, I would imagine.
I mean, if you're airmailing 37%.
Yeah, I told you 37% of his passes were uncatchable. So you're already maxed out at a 63% completion percentage. Yeah. That's if everything else goes perfectly.
Yeah, and then drop some just other misses. And
yeah, and just what is his completion percentage this year?
Boy, I'm scared to even look.
Like, what would it be? I mean, if that's the case, I mean, because if I'm telling you that 63% is the max, is that
maybe he's got enough screens to make up a difference?
61.5%. It's not that bad when you consider that
37
is uncatchable. How many games have we played?
Six. We're 2-4.
We've played how many games? Six.
Six.
He has 950 yards this year.
Yeah.
956 yards in six games?
Yeah.
And I get that he got knocked out of the Missouri game. That's it, right? That's the only game he's missed.
You mean Arkansas?
Yeah. Sorry. Excuse me. Yes, Arkansas. That's the only game he's missed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he got benched at the end of the Kentucky game, but that was just the fourth quarter. I mean, he played that game, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? 956 yards? Are you kidding me?
Well, if you count the yards he threw to Kentucky players that game, he had over 100.
I think you should subtract them. I think it should be 856 yards. That one was like an 80-yard pick six. Yeah. The other was like a 30-yard. So take 110 yards off because you gave 110 yards to the other team. He's got 840 yards. How pitiful.
Yeah, that's like 158 yards a game.
That's the saddest stat I've ever seen.
Yeah, 158 a game is basically what that is.
That's pitiful. 6.7 yards average. Like, that's pitiful.
Jeez, that's ugly.
That's so bad.
His best game was week one. He has gotten progressively worse.
He wasn't even good week one.
Yeah, I know. But still, that was his best game.
We came out of week one talking about how inaccurate he was in week one, how many throws he had missed,
and
how they were
high.
He
was just one-hopping them that game, wasn't he?
It was one-hopping them. I thought it was more like throwing them high. I remember him throwing all of them basically high.
Okay.
And we're looking at the mechanics, and like he wasn't following through, and he was
probably like 1-for-8 on third down that game or whatever.
And all of them were pretty much all of them were open.
Yeah.
And we're just like, hey, you know, JG was more decisive that game. I remember that was the narrative. At least he was more decisive,
making the right throws. But
made the right reads. It was just all high. That's an easy fix. We'll get our gurus of quarterbacking over there on the hill to fix this.
He did fix the mechanics a little bit next week. Just he wasn't good.
Big Jim Chaney and Chris Winkie will get this figured out. That's sad that's his best game because he played awful that game.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to be sick if you're a receiver on this roster.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like we have talent at wide receiver. I
agree.
Now, some of it's been disappointing. Like, I feel like Mermel Keaton's been pretty disappointing, all things considered.
Only two receivers have double-digit catches.
Is that Johnson and Palmer?
Yeah. And then Eric Gray has 19, but
I was gonna say Eric Gray's probably gonna be closer to leading the team in receiving, right? He's probably second, right?
Not in yards. He's third in yards, second in catches though. Brandon Johnson's second in yards.
That's pitiful, man. That's sad. It's so sad to me that Jalin Hyatt has less than 10 catches.
Seven.
That guy's a stud.
Seven through six games.
You can like watch that and see that he is a stud.
Averaging 20 yards a catch.
I'm going to be sick to my stomach when Jalin Hyatt is at Florida next year. But good for him. He'll be a first-round pick.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, dude's a stud, and we don't use him.
You still got that PFF list up?
Yeah.
Where's our boy Grayson McCullough on there?
I mean, he's going to be higher than 100.
Yeah, I can guarantee that, yeah.
I can tell you that. Grayson McCullough, top 20.
How about that?
number 19.
Hey. That's my coastal.
Hey, one time transfer, please.
McCall and Coastal Carolina have been one of the best stories of the 2020 season through week 11. They find themselves with a spotless 7-0 record and number 6 in expected points added per pass play. McCall has executed this offense to near perfection, sporting a 92 passing grade, the fifth best in the FBS.
Ooh.
He's a stud when you watch him. Now, I don't know if he can do it against bigger competition. We don't know that, but he's dominating his competition.
I would be willing to give him a shot.
I guarantee if you play at Tennessee, he would have more than 950 yards.
Yes.
Six games. I can assure you that would be the case. That makes me sick. And I really just have one question coming out of this. Who the hell are the 27 worst quarterbacks in this?
Yeah. Please, who's last?
All right, we got Brandon Peters, Illinois.
Okay.
Shea Werders, Georgia Southern.
Okay.
TJ Finley.
Well, they don't
Max
even
Johnson,
pass the ball.
LSU. Daniel Richardson, Central Michigan. Carson Baker, San Diego State. Tate Wheatley, Southern Miss. They fired their coach. They're like, this is bad.
They fired their coach twice.
Jordan McLeod, UCF. No, he left USF. He left the second time.
He left the second time.
Jaden Daniels. Seems a little surprising.
That is a little surprising.
It is.
They only played two games, so maybe we'll see. Sean Clifford, Penn State. That checks out. That guy's terrible. Matt McDonald, Bowling Green. Dorian Thompson Robinson. Oh, man. Poor Chip Kelly. I don't feel like that. I feel like he had a really good game last week.
Yeah, they picked it up last week.
Chase Bryce Duke. Wasn't that a five-star? Wasn't Chase Bryce a five-star?
Yeah, he's at Clemson.
That was a guy like was a five-star and couldn't play.
I'm cracking up because I'm looking at the passing rating.
Close your ears.
Oh, no.
Your boy, KJ Costello.
Slash
Real Rogers coming in at 119. So
I don't know what they did to him. They broke that man.
Mike Leach can make any quarterback a star. Mike Leach can do it with anybody except KJ Costello and Will Rogers.
I'll eat that one. Yeah.
It wasn't just you. There were a lot of people saying
that. He looked good at Stanford.
A couple of games he looked good at Stanford.
He looked decent week one, besides like the three interceptions he threw.
Last place, Will Koch. K-O-C-H. We'll go with Koch. From UMass.
UMass, that checks
UMass
out.
UMass is just always just
yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking
every,
at
they've been like 30 or 40 point underdogs every game they played this year.
I'm looking at the passer rating of the quarterbacks on our team, and JT Shroud has a negative 200.
Yeah. One pass, one interception.
I didn't even know you could do that.
What is Mowers?
21.7.
How the hell does he have 21.7? Just that
he has one completion.
That one first down scramble he had. And if you're wondering why...
one completion for 1 yard.
If you're wondering why Greg Schiano didn't take Garantanos, because his quarterback, Noah Verdahl, is 95th in the country. Five spots ahead of Jarrett Garantano. He looked at his roster and said, we're good. We're good. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. You got an update on The Rock, Hayden? Let's take a peek over at the hill. So our athletic director has the Rona.
Yeah.
Our football team sucks. Mm-hmm. Our quarterback is 100th in the country.
How are people taking it?
38% of his passes are uncatchable. He only has 150 yards per game in 2020. You know how hard that is?
That's nearly impossible.
You know how hard that is? A guy you told him wasn't good enough, Sam Howell, gets that in one half at North Carolina.
Yeah, he does.
So let's check in. What are the students painting on The Rock? How are they feeling now?
Well, this is not today, actually. I think this was yesterday. It was posted yesterday, but still.
It's still same topical.
Thing. Says,
I wonder if it's still up.
It's probably covered by now. says, Donde makes $600,000 a year.
The Donde or Donda?
Whatever.
Donde, I mean, I'm curiously asking. I don't.
Chancellor Plowman. Doesn't matter. I really have no idea.
Just Plowman.
I've always just thought it was Donda.
Donda makes $600K a year, but our campus workers don't make a living wage. And it says greed is killing underneath and underlined.
Oh, boy. Surprised they didn't call out the football coaches. They didn't take the pay cut.
Yeah. So that might be in response to that a little
Could
bit.
Could be.
I would have added that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took a pay cut.
Oof.
So that's good.
And they're still charging full tuition for online classes.
We're going to have a rise of the 99% against the 1% over there on the hill. Oh, man.
Good thing about being in 99% is you got numbers advantage.
You got a lot of them. The problem is you don't have enough money for the power.
That's exactly.
The problem is the 1% has more money than all of you put together. Yeah. That's usually the problem.
You just got to storm a mansion.
Yeah.
I think part of this is... I heard a few weeks ago that the custodians were like demanding hazard pay for like having to do like all this extra work for COVID-19, and they're not getting it.
Well, I saw some memes coming out of I don't know exactly where they're coming out of, but kind of the same thing about as everyone's praising Dolly.
Mm.
It was like basically the COVID research was paid for by the Pigeon Forge workers who. I've had to stay open and running during a pandemic. Like, basically, like we paid for that $1 million donation by still having to work out here for, you know, being out here during a pandemic, putting our health at risk.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
So there's always two sides of the coin. I mean, like, you know, I just saw that going out. So even Dolly can't avoid. the critique. We're talking about KJ Costello and Mississippi State. Did you guys see this? They have more players unavailable for their game against Georgia. So Mississippi State is heading to the airport, and they're going to play tomorrow with less than 53 scholarship players. That's less than an NFL team. Like, usually you have, what, like 80?
What's I didn't think that was allowed.
Yeah, what's the cutoff?
I think if you have the positions, because if they don't have scholarship, they have walk-ons.
Yeah, they said walk-ons count for those positions, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
How many scholarship players are usually allowed to travel anyways?
60-something, I think. 60, maybe. So 85 total scholarships.
Right, you got 85 total.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 60-something on the travel squad.
So they're heading to Georgia, which, good news for Mississippi State.
JT Daniels, like.
It's not like. JT Daniels, yeah.
Rubbing his hands together.
Great opportunity for him to get to play. Man. Great opponent. He is licking his chops. If he can, if he doesn't look good this week against Mississippi State, just go ahead and send him back into the transfer portal. And we'll call him.
To the abyss.
Just,
We'll call him. He'll still be above number 100 by the end of the weekend.
He's still going to be better than Derek Garantano, but.
Try to get him to play against Vanderbilt next week.
Yeah, how quick can he get to the portal, my man?
He looks terrible. Gets Mississippi State. We text him at 3 o'clock in the morning. You up?
Is there any chance that Mike Leach gets fired this year? There's not, right? You can't fire a coach year one in a pandemic, right?
You would think no.
This is going to be a disaster, right? Like, I mean, like it feels like ages ago since they beat like a scrub LSU team that was like completely checked out and not ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like ages ago.
Yep. And when you have all your star players opted out, that's just, I mean, that can't be a good sign.
And like, we'll see how he recruits. He did land that 4-star quarterback right when he got there, right? Didn't he land a 4-star quarterback, I think?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think he did.
Yeah, no, he did.
But he won't have any running backs playing for him, that's for sure.
Seems like a big-time disaster. And last time I looked at the coach's hot seat list, I think he was on there.
Ooh.
Only at number 19, but he's already at number 19. That seems like a bad start for 1 year.
He had to be on the list.
Yeah. Seems like a bad start. You're already on the radar there, Mike. A little bit of breaking NBA news. Nothing major. No players moving, but a team officially moving for the year. The federal government in Canada officially denies the request of the Toronto Raptors to play in Toronto. So the Raptors are going to have to play in America. They're going to have to make a home somewhere.
Man.
Looks like it's either going to be Tampa Bay or Nashville, I believe is what the thought will be.
Is there an arena in Tampa? I guess the Lightning's arena?
Yeah.
But it doesn't basketball and hockey overlap? Well, I guess the same thing in Nashville.
It'd be the same thing in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in a lot of places. I mean, the Kings use the Staples Center, as the Clippers and Lakers both do. Yeah. Like,
how do they do that?
They just come up with the schedules and schedule the.
It's just logistics, and then just change the court.
There's somebody for that.
We got ice. How do you do that?
I don't know how that. I don't know, but I'm telling you they do.
Well, I know they do. That seems weird.
And you got to put the glass and everything, too. Like, it seems like it'd be pretty hard, but I don't know. They do it.
They got crews for it.
Yeah.
Goes quick when you got, like, 100 people doing it at once.
And when you do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the season starts, what, in 3 weeks? I mean, I guess 4 weeks? Raptors got to find a home.
Free agency starts in, like,
and you
got to
logistically plan all that, too. Yeah, like, you got to logistically plan it, because if you're going to go to either Tampa or Nashville, you're going to be, like you said, dealing with a hockey team, too, and they're going to need to find a schedule and what dates are available and all that, which I'm sure they've already been working on it, prepared for Toronto not being able to do there, but it's official now. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.